Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 90. I get my Bible right side up here so I can preach right this morning. Psalm 90. Got a lot on my heart. Got a lot of things to preach about. Basically, what I want to do is I want to preach these 17 verses in the 90th Psalm. But man, I've got a message to go along with that. I've been getting bits and pieces on my prayer time this morning. God kind of turned some light on some things. I scratched some notes down, and I've got notes here. I've got notes on my Bible. I got post-its. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 post-its right here in front of me. I'm gonna try not. My big danger is that I would be scattered and really not accomplish anything this morning. That's not what I want to do. We sang the song this morning, Hold the Fort. I shared a little bit about that in prayer meeting this last Wednesday night. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't say that in pride. You know, we're wretches saved by grace. It's Jesus Christ that has done all the work. And this is Christ's church. And for us to just get the idea that we're supposed to just hang on. If you were in the auditorium Sunday school class this morning, you heard, and I was told this week, and I had a couple pastors call me since, the last remaining Bible college in Michigan is closing its doors in September. The state is in desperate need of revival. When we had that statewide effort for a statewide revival, the Michigan Revival Conference 2.5 years ago now, man, I was very encouraged. And there were victories. And we saw some churches get planted. There were some good things that happened, but it didn't take over Michigan like we prayed that it would. I want to encourage you this morning that we are not done. I've got several burdens that I'm carrying. I need you to be faithful to God. We'll see where it's going to go. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm very excited about it, but I'm not sure what to do in a couple of situations, and we need God's direction. So you pray for your preachers. You pray for this ministry. You ask God to greatly bless. But one thing I know for sure, we're not supposed to just hold the fort and just kind of cower in a corner and be secret Christians and kind of hide back in the shadows and hope that nobody notices us and become like the world and talk like the world and think like the world and take the world's culture on, the cosmos, and think we're going to evangelize the world. The word is ecclesia. That God would make us an ecclesia. That means called out assembly. Called out of the world. We're to be different than the world. We're not supposed to be the world with Jesus' name on it. We're the called out assembly. And Jesus said, I'll build my church. You won't have to manipulate. You don't need programs. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a great danger in the state of Michigan. I see it in our church families. I've seen it over and over again over the years. Don't start listening to the world. Don't go there as a child of God. Don't get your counsel from the world. That is a drastic mistake with drastic consequences. October the 5th, 1864, the North and the South are in civil war. William Tecumseh Sherman is on his march to the sea. He's just outside the city of Atlanta. There's a railroad track that he's following, and he's being supplied on this railroad track. A ways from him to the north in Altoona Pass is General Corse, and he has one company of men, 1,500 men. They are the supply depot for General Sherman. If that supply depot were to break down, the march to the sea ends. Everything changes in the Civil War. This is the North going for the jugular vein in one final thrust into the South. General Hood, with his mounted cavalry, do an end run around General Sherman and go to Altoona Pass. And there, maul General Corse. Greatly, overwhelmingly outnumbered. They ripped up the railroad on their way north, so no supplies could get down, and then they surround, and General Corse had retreated into a mountaintop fortress with what few men he had left. They were running out of supplies. running out of ammunition. The end was certain. Everyone was discouraged. Wounded men everywhere. And from 20 miles away, the signalman in that fortress sees a flag waving on another mountaintop. And it was General Sherman. The message was simple. Hold the fort, for I am coming. General Sherman. Well, they held that fort. There's a message from heaven this morning as well. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Man, if they had not held that fort, it could be a different world we live in today. You all might be saying you all. You maybe would have two first names like Billy Bob or Jimbo or something like that. And you probably would have had grits this morning for breakfast. That wouldn't have been a good thing. There's a message from heaven this morning. Hold the fort. Man, I know there's darkness in every direction. I know we're all being overwhelmed by the armies of darkness and the culture. And it is so appealing and it's so attractive. And I understand all of that. I would encourage you this morning as pastor of this church, hold the fort, for I'm coming. Jesus said, I am coming. Go to Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. Know this morning, we're not alone. There's a spiritual realm that the human eye cannot detect, we're not privy to. Tonight I'm going to preach a message, a second part of a message I started a long time ago. You probably don't even remember when I preached it, on angels. Tonight I'm going to preach on angels in the church, angels in the family of God, and it'll be a great blessing to you, and you'll hear all about angels this evening. I want you to know there's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men. And if the devil can't have your soul because you're born again, I'll tell you what he's after. He's after your heart. If he can't have your soul, he wants your heart. Because if he gets your heart, you're no longer going to serve God. Because where your heart is, where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be also. And the fact is this, the devil can have your soul, not if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, he will have and does have your soul until you come to the Redeemer, until you come to Jesus and ask him for salvation and for forgiveness of sins. A one-time act where you repent of your sin and ask Jesus to be your personal Savior, and he'll save you this morning. And if you are born again, the devil can't have your soul, but if he can't have that, he's going to try to get your heart. That's what Psalm 90 is about. It's a prayer of Moses. They're in the wilderness. Things are sometimes pretty bleak. This Psalm 90, and what I'm going to try to do here this morning is some theological exhortation. Or if you're a plain thinking kind of person, I'm going to try to give you a kick in the hind end, all right? Just to try to encourage you. And it's not a mean-spirited thing at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, if you're going to be mean-spirited about defeats and people that are broken people that disappoint others in the ministry and disappoint God, man, you're not going to last very long in the ministry. God convicted me about that a long time ago. I still can do it. Bill can do it. Josh can do it. It's easy to get in the flesh. Somebody disappoints you and you think, what in the world? They know better than that. What are they thinking? Who are they listening to? What's going on? And you get mad at the person instead of your heart being broken for them. Knowing there's going to be consequences. People are going to be hurt. Psalm 90 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Israel was in the wilderness when this psalm was written by Moses. Said, we got no home in this world. The God of Moses is all they had. And Moses cries out to God and he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses, God, is eternal God. God was God when there was no earth. God was God when there were no mountains. God was God when there was no oceans. God was God when there was no solar system. He is from everlasting unto everlasting. And for me to think that I could outsmart God with the way I'm going to live my life, man, you'd be a far wiser person just to heed the word of God. By the way, I know who's going to fall away from God already. They are the people that are not grafted into the word of God. These are the people that are not reading their Bibles. These are the people that every day don't have a Bible time with God. I don't mean just reading their Bible. I mean a Bible time with God. Those are the people that are going to listen to the counsel of the world. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And don't look to the world for answers. And here they are in the wilderness. Things aren't going real well. People are dying in the wilderness. They're burying people every day. Before the mountains were brought forth, he kind of praises God here just a little bit. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. Genesis 3:19, ashes to ashes. From the dust thou wast formed, to the dust thou shalt return. We're going to be here and we're going to be gone. And God will still be God. That's what Moses is saying. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8? A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In heaven, they don't measure time like we measure time down here. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. That means Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again 2 days ago on heaven's timetable. Man, and we are right now at the end of the church age, and Jesus is coming back for his church. Man, this is right now. This is haying season. I know it. You got to make hay while the sun is shining. And I'm telling you this, spiritually speaking, Fundamental Baptist Church, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We need to make hay while the sun is shining. It says in verse 5, thou carriest them away. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Our time is limited. Day is almost done. One old preacher said it this way in talking about these two verses. Sown, grown, blown, mown, and gone. That's us. We're like grass. I know we think we're pretty important. But our time is short. Next verse. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. They were being chastised in the wilderness. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. History. Justice shortened their days in the wilderness. For the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Moses says this under inspiration. We're going to live 70 years if we're lucky, if we're blessed. 70 years. And if we're strong and we maintain good health, we might get 80 years. We're here and we're gone. Life is fleeting. Life is fragile. Life is short. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is short. Hell is hot. Heaven is real. And eternity is long. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days that wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And talking about family here. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Make life count, or what's left of life. It's almost over. Life is short. Every old person knows that. Every young person doesn't believe it. But it's true. You're going to be here and you're going to be gone. And we need to hold the fort. Jesus said, occupy till I come. There's a work to be done. The ecclesia is going to be built by God. The church, the ecclesia, is to grow and thrive in the dark culture in which we live. America is different than what it used to be. I went to the 4th of July parade, Independence Day parade. No color guard. The veterans had a float. God bless them. the Vietnam veterans had a float, the VFW and the Vietnam veterans, they both had floats. But outside of that, oh, there were some American flags. There were some other flags too.
True.
It's like it wasn't a celebration of our freedom. It was a big commercial with a lot of wickedness. And things have changed. Michigan's slipping away. But the church will be triumphant. Amen. Glory to God. There's some things. Hold the fort, for I'm coming. Here's three things. I just kind of want to jam this into the 90th Psalm in a way that I hope that you'll understand. There's some things that it's time to rally. That's what I'm telling you. It's time to rally. It's the middle of summer. Hard to believe it's already the middle of the summer, but we're there. Man, it's July, right? And we're in the middle of summer, and it's hot. And the lake is calling, and vacation is calling, and good times are calling. I understand all of that. Don't go on vacation from God. Man, don't leave God out of your life. Don't be less faithful to God than what you are in January. Man, be that faithful people. And I would encourage you in these days in which we have, because what if all we have is this summer? What if all we have is this month? What if all we have is this week? What if all we have is today? Man, we need to make hay while the sun is shining. We've got to make our life count for God. And so Jesus says, hold the fort, for I am coming. Here's what we got to hold on to. Number one, three very basic things. I won't belabor any of them because it won't take any time to hit these three points. Rally time. Rally time. Don't let go of your Bible. You've heard me preach that already this spring. Don't let go of your Bible. Hang on to the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't matter who says what. It doesn't matter what kind of accomplished man or how many degrees he has says, well, we really can't know what the will of God is. That's garbage. That's theological, liberal puke coming out of some classroom somewhere or some man's study that is not born again. We have the Word of God. The Scripture tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled. Not one dot, not one jittle, not tittle, not one little piece of the Word of God is going to fail, the Scripture says. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God endureth forever. It's never going to change or vary. Thy word is truth. And we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Let me explain that in just a short paragraph. Every word of the Word of God is inspired. In fact, I think every one of the modern translations, they go by thoughts. That's a mistake. That is a mistake. The scripture declares itself the very word of God. Psalm 12 and verse 7. It's settled. It's forever. Men are going to change. Cultures are going to change. Time is going to change. But God's word will never change. I'm a TR man. I believe in the Textus Receptus. I love the King James Bible. It's the only Bible taken from the TR. All the modern translations today are taken from the Alexandrian text, the eclectic text. The critical text, and that wasn't even put together. The critical text wasn't even put together until the 1800s. And so for 1800 years, you're telling me the church didn't have a Bible? You got to be kidding me. Hang on to the Bible. And be connected to the Word of God. Another thing, and I'll tell you how to read your Bible, in case you've never gotten this from me before. Read four chapters a day. Four chapters a day, you'll get through the Bible in a year. Put it on your schedule. You can't just squeeze it in. It's the first thing you're going to ignore. It's the first thing you're not going to have time for. That ought to tell you something about the spiritual battle. And then pray every day, God, give me something. Something I can use today. Put it on your schedule, read four chapters, and God, give me something today. Give me something that's going to help me this very day in which I live. Hang on to God's Bible. Be faithful to it. Be faithful to Christ's church. I believe in the local church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Ephesians 4:12, the leadership of the church, pastors and deacons are given to help them. The job of the church, Matthew 28, Great Commission. We're to evangelize. Man, we're to baptize. We're to edify. We're to exalt Jesus Christ. Even a part-time theologian can identify that we are at the very end of the church age. We are there. As a people of God, we need to understand this. The flag that's waving, hold the fort. Man, if I can just exhort you, if I can just encourage you this morning, I'm not trying to chew you out. Number one, get your Bible and don't let anybody take it away from you. And hang on to it with both hands. And don't let anybody bamboozle you. Don't anybody try to convince you or be able to convince you. Don't listen to the world. Hold on to the Word of God. Be faithful to the church. David had a lot to say about that. David said, man, if I could just live. If I could just live in thy presence, if I could just live in the tabernacles, it brought great joy to his heart and great joy to his soul. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm sorry, got to read it. Hebrews chapter 10. So, you know, I've heard it before. I know what it's about. Yeah, well, try to pick something up from this here this morning. You can come up with all kinds of excuses for not being faithful. Every one of us can. All kinds of excuses. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't use any excuses to not go to Calvary. Amen. In fact, hold your hand here, and I'll read to you a single verse that is so convicting. It's changed my life. Luke. You might want to turn there so you can underline it yourself. Chapter 22. And verse 44. Every time I get to thinking, well, why don't I just kind of rest a little while? I could cut this corner. I could be less faithful over here. And I know it needs to be done, but man, I've gone on vacation in a long, long time. I, you know what? I could spend that money here instead of using it for God. Every time I get thinking, this verse just has come back to my life, into my heart and into my life time and time again. Verse 44, this is Jesus. He didn't want to be nailed to a cross. He didn't want to be spit upon and mocked and scourged, and hang suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours, struggling to breathe, bloodied, nailed to that cross. The humanity of Christ, his human part, he's the Son of God, he's God in the flesh, but the human part didn't want to die. And he's praying in the garden and being in an agony. The very words, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. There was a battle going on. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You ever work so hard, and I know you have, where you're working on something, you can't keep your glasses, that's a curse, glasses. You can't keep your glasses on your face, and sweat is dripping off of you all the time. It's a lot of fun when you're working with an assistant pastor, and you're up on the ladder, and you're sweating, and your sweat is dripping down on them down there, and you know they think, is it raining? You know, yeah, that's kind of enjoyable, but you're sweating that hard. Jesus, in an agony, in the garden, disciples asleep, praying to his Father, God, I don't want to die. He knows what's going to happen. He's all alone. Hematidrosis is the medical term. In such agony, the capillaries burst and blood leaks out the pores of his skin. He sweat, the Bible says, verbally inspired, great drops of blood fell to the ground. I'm glad Jesus had time for me. I'm glad Jesus went to the cross. He didn't have to. See, I don't have to come to church on Sunday night. I hope you're listening. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. What a Savior we have. Amen. Man, I don't deserve him, do you? Man, I don't deserve that love. Be faithful. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Now hold it, time out. I know a lot of people do that. And as a matter of fact, liberal churches don't have a Sunday night church. They don't have a prayer meeting. They don't do that. It's pretty easy just to give God an hour. You don't even have to concentrate during that hour. You know, so he says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more, as some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Starting on the 14th and preaching on the tabernacle. Man, that's going to be a time. I'm like a horse just chomping at the bit. We've got our new projector in now, so you're going to be able to see everything up on the screen, even with the lights on. What I need to show up there, I'll be able to show to you Sunday night, starting next Sunday night. It's going to be just a wonderful time of fellowship. I look forward to it. You can practice for that night, by the way, by coming tonight and hearing about angels. And during the altar call tonight, I'm going to ask for people to come and pray for camp this week. Because a lot of our kids are going to Bible camp this week. And it's a spiritual battle. And we've got to fight this thing fire with fire. Maplewood's going to be starting school again soon. Hard to believe. It's just around the corner. We've got some changes that we're making. Pastor Josh and I have discussed some things. One thing we're going to do that's right up front is we're going to have a music class every week. Right up front, we're going to have a lot more kids doing special music during our services. And it'll be a blessing. It'll help train them, and it'll be a blessing to you, and a blessing. And just be all kinds of different groups and all kinds of different duets and quartets and choirs and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, that's a vision I have. If you were here this morning, you heard a little bit this morning about the Michigan Baptist School of Ministry. I'm not settled on that yet. There's so much happening. We got old school coming up. We got a lineup of speakers like you will not believe. Dr. Mike Allison, he's a preacher man. You will be blessed. We cover the whole spectrum. I'm praying to be the best old school that we have ever had. We've got our mission conference coming up. We haven't got it nailed down yet, but Jimmy DeYoung coming in the spring and a prophecy conference. We've got some big days in front of us as Fundamental Baptist Church. I'm telling you, hold the fort. Man, don't go to the world. Don't start thinking the grass is greener on the other side. That is a devil's lie. Please, don't start listening to the counsel of the world. Don't start listening to your own wicked, sinful heart. Tim Rader's biggest enemy is Tim Rader. It's my flesh. But Jesus said, hang on to your Bible, man. Hang on to my church. Stay faithful. Hang on to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. World can't do that. Jesus died for sinners. I'm glad the Bible said, whosoever will may come. You know, that's better than saying, having my name in there. If I were to open my Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it said, if Tim Rader will come unto me, whosoever shall call upon me, if Tim Rader will call upon me, he'll be saved. You know what I would think if I read that? That must be another Tim Rader. But it says, whosoever. So I know he's talking about me. It's anybody. Anybody who repented their sin and received Jesus Christ, the love gift of Calvary. Man, you can know you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning, visitor, regular attender, and you're saying, well, I'm not sure that I'm just not sure. Listen, you come to Christ. You repent of your sin. God will take you just the way you are. He'll cleanse you. He'll clean you up. You'll become a child of God. He will translate you into the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You will be born again. That's what the scripture says. If you'll come to Jesus this morning, you can be saved. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Not a message from General Tecumseh Sherman, but a message from Jesus Christ. You hang on. My church, you hang on. I'm coming soon.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.